Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and is Saturday, November 12, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. So welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and I want to give an especially warm welcome to the leader of this teaching, Sri Kadavji, who's always with us. And Sri Kadavji's proper title is Sri Kadavji the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Srirosha Master. And the reason he is called the 973rd Living Srirosha Master is because he is the 973rd leader of this teaching in an unbroken line of masters. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here as always. And before I give you the first question here to get the evening started, or for a suggestion, I did want to mention to everyone that we talk about the fundamentals of this teaching in the show just to introduce everyone to the basic premise of the teaching. But in addition, Sri Kadavji will be offering further, deeper esoteric points as well. And so the show is not always the same every week. We do touch in various points that are not touched upon on a weekly basis. So with that, I wanted to ask you, Sri Kadavji, if you'd like to first speak about maybe just what this teaching is about for those people who are listening for the first time. Maybe you could give a basic outline of what ACOTA is and how it is that it's an ancient teaching.
Yeah, the best place to start is with the essence of man. We tend to describe as, well, we do describe it, or can actually experience it as what we call a soul. And the soul defined in ACOTA is the light and sound within one. And what we experience is what is called the sound current. The sound current would be like a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear that one hears inwardly. So that's an important place to start, because a lot of people will hear this inner experience, this inner sound current, but because their native teachings don't explain what it is, they doff it off as something that may be a physical malady. I know even in the medical sciences they call it tinnitus. There's some kind of disease, they've declared it as a physical sound of the cells or what have you. And the way that you can discount that is when you experience what we call, in English, it's the phrase spirit travel or soul travel. Excuse me. But we use the higher Sanskrit words, like the word ACOTA is a higher Sanskrit word, meaning it has a higher vibration. And the word sahaji is a practice that this essence, the soul essence, will do to gain the liberation once they are, when you pass from this world, the physical world, because we know that we're mortal, then one learns how to become liberated. But you can also do that in the present time. You don't have to pass away like in some of the religions say, well, you have to wait to go to heaven when you die. Well, we do that presently. In other words, we teach people to do a daily 30-minute contemplation, or even to close the eyes presently, excuse me, and just go on to the inner planes. And that means we have to describe what that means. So in other words, ACOTA brings a higher truth or an explanation to how people are thinking. But the ones that can get it are what we call the ready soul. They're the ones that will be able to understand what we're talking about here. The people that are not ready will just think of this as some kind of cult or some crazy nonsense, and they just don't get it. And that, therefore, it remains secret even when it's revealed. It's called a secret teaching, the only teaching, the first teaching, the most direct path, whatever you want to call it. And that of itself, it turns off a lot of people because they say, well, all roads lead to Rome. And I say, no, they might lead to Rome, but they don't lead to heaven. There's a little joke there. You like that? I've given that one before.
Mm-hmm.
It might lead to Rome, but not heaven. What's that? I'm sorry. Anyway.
It's true, though.
Yeah, well, it is true because of the fact that there has to be a direct way and all other things are circuitous, and they'll always have to get back to the middle road at some point. And then they would say, well, that's what Buddha was teaching, was a middle path. Well, but it was Buddhism. It was one person teaching an opinion that he was giving at the time of his life. But the Akata teaching has been a teaching since the dawn of time. It was the purport of the living Sroshi Master who passes that information on to the next teacher. That's why when we say the 973rd, that goes back to 3100 BC. And if you do the math, it averages about 6 years per tenure or something like that. But there are the length of tenures is a dynamic. There's been a teacher for 2 days and one for 300 years. So it doesn't really have a set pattern, a set tenure. Tenure limits, as they say it in the politics. We don't want to go into that, do we, this week? But anyway, having said all that, especially in America, but I'm not even going to get involved with that. But anyway, the path, actually, what we teach to the ready soul that comes to the teaching is that they can gain spiritual liberation in a fairly short period of time. Because we do talk about karma and reincarnation, and that means that the soul has, that we talked about, the light and sound, has reincarnated perhaps millions of times to get to the point of their readiness in this particular lifetime. So that means that it's a great opportunity for that ready soul. It doesn't mean they'll necessarily get there. For instance, we have about 3,000 followers on the path, and we've been public for about 26 years or so. And that means that, it's about 28 years now. But anyway, we've been public for a while, and then there's other teachers who claim that we're not public because we don't have millions of followers and all that silliness. But the point is, even get one person into the soul plane, that's a responsibility of the public teaching. But having said all that, the idea of being public is that there are already souls. That means there's 1% of the population. And if people are aware of the population of Earth, it's about 7.5 billion, something like that, maybe pushing towards 7.8. That would mean there's about 78 million people that are ready. And people say, well, you're really ambitious trying to get 78 million people. I'm not. I'm just saying that's a fact in terms of how many people are ready souls. And just this week, we had several people become members because you just put it out there, we present it, and then a ready soul catches the wave or the energy or the vibration, and they pick up on it. Okay, that doesn't, the other 99 out of 100 are throwing produce. But I always say, if you're going to throw tomatoes, make sure they're fresh, and I'll catch them in a basket, you know, so we can make a nice salad out of them. But, I mean, all joking aside, people are not really pleased with it. That's why it goes non-public, and people say, well, why aren't they pleased with the path? It's pretty simple, because they're not ready for it. They're just not ready for spiritual liberation, and there's a demon in the lower worlds called the Kalmaranjan. The lower worlds are the first four planes that we teach in the basic fundamentals when we talk about the introduction that we do here each week. We have the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, and they're controlled by the demon, the he-god called Kalmaranjan, K-A-L, not Cal, C-O-W, like a type thing. What they do in America, when they go like that, and go moo like that. Anyway, that's three jokes tonight, by the way. Usually I don't tell any. But anyway, so the interesting thing is the Cal, K-A-L, is a demon in the lower worlds. Okay, his responsibility as a he-god is to keep people reincarnating so they don't get it. So that's why people they persecute the path of Akasha, because they become channels for this negative force. And there's nothing I can do about that. We just present it, and the ready soul responds to it. And they say, well, why do you even bother with it if it's so difficult? It's not a matter of that. It's a responsibility that, or an urge within me of gaining this responsibility that the Spirit moves me to teach it, you see? I mean, it's one of these things where you fill up and you have to outflow, or Shakespeare said, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. And it's true to a certain extent, because I am very interested in this teaching because I've gained so much from it. And I know the people, the Ready Souls and people that are involved with it are very happy with it as well, because they feel this great joy of knowing that the sound current is an ecstatic experience. When you hear your sound current, maybe the people for the first time that are on the show tonight that have heard it, when they listen to the sound current, they might not be jumping for joy, but they are within themselves. They might not show it outwardly, but they do inwardly. It's called an ecstatic experience. And that brings this great joy that we find in terms of a high vibration or a great feeling that we all have it, but as I said, you have to be ready in terms of the outer experience of it. We have a knowingness, but there's a great barrier or a negative force that keeps people at bay. It's called the false ego. We see that in our lives each day. People strut around thinking they're really wonderful and cool, and so what? You know, celebrities go to Hollywood to make movies, and they get awards and all this stuff, and then we applaud them and say, well, thank you for entertaining us, and that's it. But then they think they're God, and then what's that all about? Usually they have a lot of trouble and things of that nature. So in our attitude, the reality of the true celebrity is a soul within each individual. It doesn't come necessarily in a grand tantar or a ticker tape parade. It comes within the subtleness of maybe a sunrise that we would see on a high cliff all by ourselves, and the great joy of that, something that's private, not necessarily a public display. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. You see what I mean? So we learn about what I'm saying with all that. What we learn about is the self. We learn how to revel in the self, not selfishness, but the selflessness of knowing that privately we are a spark of the eternal. There's light and sound within, and that's good enough. You see, it's good enough to know we have a dynamic. We can be a celebrity if you want, or you can be as quiet as a mouse, and you're fine. See what I mean? You can run the dynamic there. You can have whatever you want. It doesn't matter what it is, because we have both ends of the spectrum of the personality. And in having said all that, we learn that in soul, that soul that has that great personality, that dynamic, now has an opportunity to be spiritually liberated in the three goals of Akita, which are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. Those three goals are respectively on each one of the planes we're talking about in the higher worlds. We'll have the self-realization is your fifth plane, the God-realization is in the eighth plane, and the spiritual mastery is in the tenth plane. And those are respective of each one of those levels. And those are the three major goals in Akita that people have achieved on this path. I'm not the only master. Leslie's a master. She's a 23rd initiate. I'm a 24th initiate. And we have other higher initiates on this path. We have, I believe, about 22 masters presently. And that means that if you go around and study other teachings, there are some that claim mastery, but they don't have any other masters on their path. If they do, I applaud them. That's great, because they're practicing what they preach if they do have master levels. But some of them don't do that, or they talk about it and they don't practice what they preach. And we do in Acts, and I'm very proud of that. We also don't charge for anything. Everything is free. Our books are free. Membership is free. We're really happy that we can say that too, because we don't have to justify the money thing and the sales pitch, and because a lot of the other teachers do have to justify their money business and whatnot, and people are always concerned about that. I'm not begrudging that. Fine. Again, I applaud them. If they're out there selling lifetime memberships for thousands of dollars, great. Congratulations. Good for them. If you can get those other 99% of the population to, or 99 out of 100, to gain some awareness, that's great. I'm not in competition. I think it's terrific that people will teach truths, if it's the truth. You see what I mean? There's a lot of rempassage and nonsense out there. And the golden thread of truth is in all teachings. But I say we have the golden fleece in Acts because every warp and woof fiber of this teaching is the truth. Hey, I like that. I've said that one before, though.
I think it's
the
okay Acts to repeat yourself.
Is the golden fleece, right? We can cover ourselves with a blanket. Oh, and feel very good, right? Hey, that's
for
jokes
tonight.
Comedic mood
tonight.
Comedic mood tonight, I suppose. Well, it's true, though. I mean, the golden thread is through the other paths, but we have the entire fleece. You see what I mean? And so it's important.
Yeah.
It's very important. But the irony is only 1 in 100 can get our enlightenment. See, that's the funny part about it. So therefore, 99 out of 100, it remains a secret to them. I always wondered about that years ago when my teacher, Paul Twitchell, would talk about the teaching being secret when it's being public, right? Well, it is secret to the people that can't get it. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? That's a real irony of the whole
mm-hmm.
thing.
You
know, how can a public teaching be secret? Well, it's secret to the people that don't get it. They just can't even see it. They can't even see the word. You can show the flyer that we give out sometimes with a book, and they can't even see the word. And it's just amazing how – and then, of course, we use higher Sanskrit words, so that's a turnoff right away. I mean, people barely know their own native language, much less now – trying to study foreign language, especially if it's a language of speaking in tongues, is what it really is about. It's like children when they're born have the language. We're the only ones that even know that. I mean, I think that's a grand experience in terms of the knowledge we have. We have all the knowledge, plus we have all the inner awareness as well. See, and that's what's more important, the inner awareness, is being able to take that sound current and travel on the inner planes. That's really wonderful. To have that uplifting feeling is much more important than to have a modicum of science or learning anthropology or zoology or paleontology or all these subject matter are so unimportant in comparison. And the people that are experts in that field are distraught because they don't have answers to things. They seek those answers. I mean, people that are experts in those fields die upset and distraught over the whole thing. You know, they're still trying to edit their works, and they go miserable to their deaths, and then they realize on the other side, well, boy, I sure missed the mark there, but they may not come back into the physical lifetime to gain the high path because the veil drops. A lot of people don't realize that it's not easy sometimes to find the path, and people struggle to get there, And the ones that have made it, I think you should be applauded, I think. I'm happy. I've been fortunate in my lifetime to have done that. It took me a while. It took me almost 22 years to do that, 21 years, and it was really tough. I mean, people can commiserate with that. We have Sheila's have talked about how difficult it was prior to stepping onto the path, but they all have said, or many have said, they've been very fortunate to get back there, like, we had a student years ago said she felt like she was home. That really struck me as a very wonderful statement. I really appreciate that, and I feel the same way. All right, so why don't you take us through a contemplation? I think we're let's see what. Okay, yeah, we're.
We have about 11
you're
minutes
on.
Left, but
go ahead.
Okay, so. I just would like to preface that with the contemplation exercise is something. Excuse me, is something that we do on a daily basis. And it's very important to mention that this is the way that we open ourselves up as a channel for spirit. So in an intentional manner, because that 30 minutes, it helps us to facilitate our spiritual unfoldment. We unfold faster because of it. We reach our spiritual goals that Sri Kadavji mentioned earlier of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery much faster when we're doing our contemplations. This is what moves us along on the path to becoming spiritual masters. So I just want to mention the importance of it. We cannot absolutely make it a mandate for anyone. There's no way to monitor that or anything like that. But if someone's sincerely interested in gaining spiritual mastery and becoming a greater channel for spirit, then this is the key to it. And so what we do is we do 30 minutes a day. We prefer to perform the contemplation. Now, what I'm going to do here is just give you a brief example of how one goes into contemplation by chanting the word Hu, which is from the 10th plane, and it's another name for God, but it's a higher Sanskrit word. The vibrations are very, very high, and if you've been using a word from the lower planes, such as Om, you'll notice the difference between Om and Hu, because Hu is from the pure positive God worlds, while Om and some of the other words that are chanted in the lower planes are from the worlds of duality, of positive and negative, but Hu comes from the pure positive God worlds. So I wanted to mention that, and that's why it's so important, and it can dispel any kind of negativity that's either in the area or attacking you in the inner when you use this word. So the way that we do this is we sit comfortably, we close our eyes, we take a few deep breaths to relax, and we put our attention on what's called the crown chakra, that spot on the head where the soul enters when the baby is born, what's often referred to as a soft spot, and that's the highest chakra. That's where we use that. And when we do this, we're just going to chant the word Hu for a few moments for right now, and follow along if you like, but it starts like this. Hu. Barakabashat, which means may the blessings be. So when we're doing this contemplation at home, as I said, we do it for a minimum of 30 minutes, and we start off chanting the word Hu, and if you're an initiate on the path, you might have your own mantra. You would have your own mantra that you could use instead if you prefer, but Hu is very uplifting and will completely open you up as a channel for Sraosha, which is the spirit that flows from the Godhead. So if you are interested in looking at some of the various contemplation techniques that exist, on our website, there's a book, The Introduction to Akita, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and you can download that. It's free, just as Sri Kadavji mentioned, everything we do on the path is free. So you can download that book for free. And in Chapter 3, there are some examples of contemplation techniques that you can do. And you can try them out and see what feels most comfortable for you. And I did want to mention before I hand this back to you, Sri Kadavji, that we are having the last of in a series of talks that Sri Kadavji is giving in Philadelphia, which is this Tuesday, November 15th, and it's at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library on 1900 Vine Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, of course, that is free as well. And we welcome everyone to attend that would like this wonderful opportunity to meet Sri Kadavji, because he doesn't always give talks. So this is the last in a series that we're giving, and there won't be any other talks until next year again sometime. And we'll announce those dates at a later time. But please, if you're in the area and you're able to attend, we'd love to have you there. Sri Kadavji?
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate your help there. It's always splendid to do the Hu chant. The Hu chant is very uplifting. The vibrations are then the feeling of ataraxia, which is beyond tranquility, is very important. People need to gain some tranquility in their life. And what happens is that when you rest the body that way, and then soul leaves the body and then travels to the lower planes, to the fifth region. That's what we're talking about in the basic fundamentals. It's to negotiate through the lower bodies. And the lower bodies or the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, those are vast regions, and soul becomes ensnared and trapped there through many lifetimes. So the path of Akathis is really teaching about how to get liberated from those lower planes. And no other teaching can do that. They don't even have the information on really how to do it. And for the ones that have some familiarity or similarity, there are issues. And when I always recommend people investigate things. I'm not adverse to people looking at things. We always say that once you're on the path, that you shouldn't really be traveling other pathways. The analogy would be it's very difficult to ride two horses unless you're very, very tall. Hey, there's five jokes tonight. But I think I used that. No, I used that in a sad thing a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, unless you're very tall, it's hard to ride two horses. So we recommend that you step onto this path and no others. I know other people dabble in other things like healing arts and psychic issues, but they really are deterrent from the high path. They move away and claim that they're just the problem with the psych. The answer on the psychic things is really if it's selfish, if it's done with a selfless motive, I think it's all right. But from the standpoint that when you get group consciousnesses, they're really just cosmic consciousness, and they only go to the fourth plane. So just know that it's really the repackaging of the golden rule. And the golden rule is okay, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but don't sell it to me. With a price tag on it, you see. But anyway, all right, so we're down and getting close towards, I guess we have a few minutes
we have
left.
We have about 3 minutes left.
Right, right. Did you want to add anything? Did we miss anything?
I would, because also some people have been listening for a very long time, and some of those are members, and some of those are just people that are interested, and some of you are new. But for those of you who have been listening and think you might be that ready soul that's ready to take the step to membership, you can certainly go to our website and apply. As we said, there's no charge to do that. There's an application on the website, and the website is Akatha, akatha.com. So feel free to go to that. There are lots of there are books, there are audios of Sri Kadavji. There's a lot of information there, so I think it's very helpful for you to go there. And of course, as I mentioned, the introductory book, which is a great place to start because it gives so much information, both on a basic and a deeper esoteric level. So I would highly recommend that if you want to know more about the teaching. And again, you can also listen to these archives. We have hundreds of archives. We've been doing this show for several years, and there are many shows that you can listen to as well. So we also invite you to do that. And those are the things that I did want to mention. And we have probably about a minute and a half left. So I did want to say that I already mentioned the Philadelphia talk, but that information is on the website in case you didn't get the details on that. But just go to akatha.com and you'll see the date there, November 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. It's really a great pleasure and really great honor for us to be able to do this every week. We're so pleased that we're able to do that and to give out the information. And it's such a pleasure as well to hear the wisdom that Sri Kadavji imparts every week on the show. So I do want to thank you, Sri Kadavji, for being here every week and for enabling all this to happen. So with that, thank you, and my thanks to everyone for being with us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. And I'm going to turn this over to Sri Kadavji so that he may end the show for the evening.
The master raises his right hand, palm face out, and says to the people, I'm always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.